Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, people who know me know I kind of like to tell jokes and use puns. My grandson always tries to come up with one that I haven't heard. So I want to share a couple with you. Why don't we use a kitten symbol to make an apostrophe? Anybody? Because it would be a catastrophe. Okay. I'll try another one. I wondered why the baseball was getting bigger, and then it hit me. All right, one more. All right. A friend of mine tried to annoy me with bird puns, but I soon realized that toucan play that game. I better stop while I'm behind. But isn't that the point? You know, my brother, he's much smarter than I am, but he sometimes struggles with getting jokes and puns right away. I can remember so many times when we try to tell jokes to each other, and all of a sudden he'd go in the other room, and about 10 minutes later, all of a sudden I'd hear from the other room, "Oh, I get it!" And then he'd start laughing. But isn't that the point? I get it. I mean, what good is a joke? What good is a pun if you don't get it? You get the wordplay that makes a pun work? Do you get the little twist that makes a joke funny? I mean, you have to get it to appreciate the humor. The Apostle Paul, in our epistle lesson for today, was having a hard time with the Christians in Galatia. They didn't seem to be getting it. But it's not that they weren't getting a pun or they weren't getting a joke. It was something much more serious than that. They were struggling with how to approach God. What does the law do? What is so important about Jesus? There's nothing funny in this problem, because the salvation of those Christians was at stake, and they didn't seem to be getting it. Now, when Paul was first in Galatia, they got it. But after a while, after he had been gone for a while, all of a sudden they were getting mixed up, not having this clear understanding of the purpose of the law and the purpose of the gospel, and that you don't want to mix the two up, because that's what they were doing. No laughing matter here. You either get this right, or you suffer an eternity apart from God. So it's pretty serious stuff. Of course, it's not just important and serious stuff for the Galatian Christians. It's equally important for us. We too need to get it. We need to get it sorted out in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, what work God's law is doing in us and what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. So what does Paul have to say about the law? Paul tells us that the law holds us prisoner. It locks us up. It supervises us. It's kind of like our guardian. But it does it not to be nasty, but to bring us to the point that we realize that we need help outside of ourselves. That we need Jesus. And how does the law do that? The law does that by giving us clear and definite standard to tell us whether what we are doing is right or whether it is wrong. The law is clear. The law is definite. Speak a word of profanity, the law says wrong. It's sin. Use God's name, use God's name improperly, it's wrong. It's a sin. And, there's no set of circumstances that can change that fact. Fail to worship God, That's wrong. It's a sin. Dishonor authority, hurt someone, think lustful thoughts, look at pornography, cheat, lie, covet something that's not rightfully yours. God's law is clear, and it says you have sinned when you do any of those things. No way to worm out of it, no way to pass the buck and blame someone else, no other interpretation. The law is clear. God's law is the standard. The commandments clearly let you know what is right and what is wrong. Kind of think of the law like a brick wall that's immovable. That's how God's law is. What God says goes. No changing it, no getting around it, no loose bricks to play with. Either you're on the right side of the wall or you're on the wrong side. God plays no favorites. God treats everyone alike. The law simply stands there to tell us whether the thoughts that we are thinking, the words that we are speaking, or the things that we are doing are right in the sight of God, or they are not right in God's sight. And when we are wrong, when we sin, notice which side of the wall we're on. We're on the wrong side. We're on the side of sin and death and hell. On the other side is God and life and heaven. That's the prison that the law puts us in. It literally locks us up and surrounds us with all those accusations that tell us that we have sinned. I read where a pastor and his wife and three-year-old son, Micah, were traveling from Benton, Arkansas. They were traveling through the country in the middle of summer. And you know how it is with the bugs when you're driving in the country at night. They're just hitting your car and your windshield like crazy. Well, they came to an area, a rest stop, and they decided to stop. And when they pulled into that rest area and all the lights, little Micah said, "Ugh, that's dirty." And Dad didn't think much about it, and they got back in the car after they rested, and they started to take off. And of course, as they went away from the lights, and it got dark again, little Micah pipes up, "Oh, it's clean now." I believe that's kind of a picture of how we sometimes look at our lives. We can fool ourselves into thinking, "Oh, I'm pretty clean. I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy. If you think about it, I'm okay." Or if you want to compare yourself to, there's a lot of people out there that are a lot worse than I am. So if I compare myself to them, well, then I guess I'm all right. But my friend, sooner or later, the law will do its work on your heart. It will turn the lights on, and it will reveal and show to you how much filth you have accumulated as you made your journey down the road of life. It will show you that you are on the wrong side of the wall. The law, it accuses us of sin. It judges us guilty before God. And my friends, the law works. The law does its work well. It tells us what we've done wrong. And it does it with no mercy, no excuses, no freedom given. It simply locks us up behind a wall of accusation and holds us prisoner. We cannot get to God's side of the wall by trying to go over the wall or going around the wall. Live by the law. Try to approach God by your actions, by the basis of what you have done in your life, and you will fail. Every time, you will be left on the wrong side of the wall, locked up forever in sin and death and hell. Do you get it? Do you get it? Paul is writing to the Christians at Galatia, and he's writing to us because he wants us to get it. Because without it, there is no hope, no future. It's not found in the law. Only accusation, only prison. So my friends, don't go that route when you try to be on God's side of the wall. It simply does not work. And yet, the law is good. God gave it to us. The law does not want to leave us with just accusations and placing us in prison. What it wants to do is lead us to a realization. I am a sinful human being, and I can't help myself. I need help outside of myself for help. And that's where Jesus comes in. Again, in that epistle lesson for today, I love the verses from Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. When Paul writes, God sent his son, born of a woman, here it is, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You see, my friends, Jesus is the only one that the law cannot accuse. He came into the world and kept the law perfectly. He drove down that road of life without a single bug hitting his windshield, so to speak. Pure, holy, and righteous. Perfect. His whole life. Each day, he lived under the law, just like you and I do. And each day, the law showed him what was right and what was wrong. And each day, the law could not lock him up. It could not hold him prisoner, because there was nothing that the law could do to him. He was free. No need to escape. He was already on the right side of the law. He was with his Heavenly Father. But the good news of the gospel, my friends, is that Jesus did not stay there. He was born to redeem us, to buy us back from sin and death and hell, to bring us freedom from the law's prison. Think about that. He took all of the law's accusations, each accusation against us for each and every sin. He took the punishment that each and every one of our sins deserved. He took the sin and the death and the hell on our side of the wall. And he took it all upon himself to give us a way out of the mess that we are in because of our sin. And when he did, he broke a hole in that wall for us to march through. He made a door for us to enter into the hope and the life and the heaven on God's side of the wall. And that door is in the shape of a cross, because Jesus went to the cross and there accomplished salvation for us. Do you get it? Do you get it? The law shows us our sin. It shows us where we stand before God. It can accuse us and it can sentence us to death. But most of all, let it drive you to the cross, to Jesus. When it does that, the law's work is done. And then Jesus takes over. And Jesus reaches down, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, he works faith in your heart. And he pulls you through that hole in the wall, to the cross, to the right side of the wall. That's what Paul, I think, means when he says that when you're baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. You have put on all that he has done for you. And again, he has no favorites. Christ did it all for everyone. Grace and mercy is for everyone. The door is wide open to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you get it? Think of the picture that gives to us. The church is a small congregation in Africa. A child is plunged underwater in a local river. The word is spoken. The door is open. The supervision of the law is over. And a son or daughter is brought to the right side of the wall. Becomes a child of God and an heir of heaven. And also right here in this place, parents, bring their son or their daughter. They bring their child here. Water is applied. The word is spoken. The prison doors swing open once again. And the child is on the right side of the wall. Then we go to a hospital. And there's this old man dying, to die very soon. His whole life has been spent on the wrong side of the wall. But now, he wants to get back to Jesus. He wants to be baptized. And what happens? The moment he is baptized, he's free. He may only experience the joy of that freedom here in this life for the few hours that he has left. But my friends, he's free. Truly free as he walks through the cross-shaped door with Jesus to heaven. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's the best news in the world. Paul wanted those Galatian Christians to get it. Paul wants us to get it. He poured his heart and soul into getting them back to Jesus and back to the faith that was given to them at their baptism. Do you get it? Again, it's not like a joke or a pun. This is no laughing matter. This is life and death. This is salvation at stake here. It's about being on the right side of the wall. I don't know if you caught it, the song that the choir sang, the praise choir. That chorus, did you hear it? My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Do you get it? I hope and pray that you do. And then I pray that you will daily revel in what we have in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.